white women of privilege have shown in this past week how they are sometimes complicit in this behavior and in this ideology that promotes rape culture. The casting couch is something that people have talked about for years as if it is okay. The media is a business, and if the media doesn't support certain producers and people in power with their dollars, then they won't win.
So now, let's talk about race. In this last episode, I spoke to Dr. Sherry Williams. She is an assistant professor of journalism at American University and studies how black women are represented on social media.
Okay, Dr. Williams, we should be good to go.
Okay.
Briefly, before we get started, I'd be interested if you could just describe your expertise and kind of what your scholarship around social justice in social media looks like.
At American University, I am the new assistant professor in race, media, and communication. I study media and how people of color use it and how they're portrayed on it and how people of color use social media as a tool.
Generally speaking, I guess then, we have a lot of these sexual violence victims coming forward, and it seems a lot of these folks are white women, and they're mostly upper crust white women. Any response to that?
I do want to talk about one op-ed that was written, I guess this was also last week, by Mayim Bialik, who used to play Blossom on the television show back in the 80s, and she is also on the Big Bang Theory now. So she is admittedly a kind of plain-looking woman who is not traditionally beautiful. She's a white Jewish woman who's been in Hollywood since she was a child. But what she wrote about not being accosted by Harvey Weinstein or anybody in Hollywood because she is not traditionally beautiful and because she dresses modestly. She is not even perceived as attractive. And because she also doesn't put herself out there as a sexual being, she was not a survivor of sexual assault. And I thought that was particularly troubling because someone isn't perceived as traditionally beautiful, that they're not a victim of sexual assault or sexual harassment. To me, that was really off base, unnecessary, and even untrue. Rape and sexual harassment is not about beauty and attraction. It's about power and domination. What we know is that the people who are on the margins, whose identities intersect in the margins in society, are those who are more susceptible to not only gendered, but sexual violence. Daniel Holtzclaw, for example, is this former Oklahoma City police officer who was convicted of raping and sexual assaulting in different ways 13 black women while he was on duty. And these are women who lived in working class neighborhoods. They were black. Some of them, but not all of them, had a prior history with the law in terms of arrest. Some of them had a history of drug abuse or even sex work. So because these women had identities and past and background perceived as negative, that actually made them more susceptible to sexual violence. So when Mayim Bialik says that women who are not traditionally beautiful to not be a victim of sexual assault, I find that very off base and irresponsible. Donna Karan, her sweaters are bomb, like for real. Donna Karan also last week said the way that women dress sometimes does cause them to be at the center of some of these situations, which was also very disappointing. White women of privilege have shown in this past week how they are sometimes complicit in this behavior and in this ideology that promotes rape culture. Even Lindsay Lohan came out last week. She is someone who has been demonized for having a past, having a sexual identity, and just having some autonomy in her life. She defended Harvey Weinstein. So we have Mayim Bialik, Donna Karan, and Lindsay Lohan, three white women of means and stature who have defended this man who has proven to be a sexual predator. There were also white women who were the victims.
Many men of Harvey Weinstein's status have been outed. You know, it's not only him. It just seems like the difference here is people are actually really listening And it's one of the larger social media flurries that I've seen. What's to come from a media flurry like this one?
Any action starts with a conversation, because conversations illuminate ways in which different people are affected by some of these forces of oppression. I mean, we can have, you know, policy changes and we can have legislation, but it really is going to take a culture shift for people to understand that this is not okay. We have all heard about the casting couch in Hollywood and even in the theater. But the casting couch is something that people have talked about for years as if it is okay. The casting couch is basically saying that you have to sleep with someone in order to pursue this job. You have to acquiesce to another person's sexual desires. Okay, now we need to really think about that. I think this conversation is saying we have to demand more. The audience does have power, because just think, if people knew about Harvey Weinstein's actions in the past 2 decades, then how would that play out at the box office? The media is a business, and if the media doesn't support certain producers and people in power with their dollars, then they won't win. There's a power dynamic and a power imbalance that is clear in this whole entire Harvey Weinstein saga, right? Because he is the one who pulls the strings, who makes the decisions.
I've been reading about all these different kinds of harassment and sexual violence and assault, and I feel like in this movement we're kind of conflating those three different things, but that's kind of its own story maybe.
All of this is about power. What this clearly shows is that patriarchy, sexism, and misogyny are still in all sectors of the country. What this also shows us is how whiteness still reigns supreme. The fact that people have to deal with sexual harassment repeatedly is not new. But the only thing that is new in this argument is the intersection of race, gender, and class. Mostly all of the women who have come forward are white, and that's really why people are paying attention. When Daniel Holtzclaw was just simply arrested for raping all of these working class black women in Oklahoma City, there was barely any news coverage, okay? The story broke at a time when, as a nation, we were discussing police brutality, particularly affecting cisgender black men. Police have always brutalized transgender and cisgender black women, but we don't talk about that. We have this Hollywood producer who is accused of sexually harassing some of our most beloved white blonde starlets, and this is a major story that is rocking the country. But we have a police officer whose job it is to protect and serve the public. Most people have never heard of this story, and this is recent, just last year. This country still only cares about a certain kind of woman. When a woman says, me too, and when we pay attention, we need to look at who is saying it and why we care. Prominent, affluent, beautiful white women say me too, and we care. But there are women of color, transgender women, working class women saying me too every day, but we don't pay attention. Viola Davis became the first black woman to win Best Actress. She paraphrased a Sojourner Truth speech, and she was basically saying that black women just need the opportunity.
That was Dr. Sherry Williams. She teaches at the American University School of Communication, Zane Anthony, American University, Washington.